I want this to be geared around, I mean, I have a formal presentation tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., so I think I'll be the only one there. But that presentation, I plan on going through a script and doing that. Some of the things that I'm talking about today, I'll be doing there as well. But I want this, in the sweep presentation, it's much nicer. I think we can get more intimate, and I can lead more in the direction you want me to go. So I'll start my little spiel, and if you want me to go in certain directions, and I'll ask you input, but I want to make sure that you get out of it what you came here for. But the main purpose of this was to talk about the new features that 5.5 has in it, and then where we're going with 6.0. So 5.5 came out in November 2nd of last year. It was in public beta for a couple months, and so I would like to go over what some of those features had in it that I think really make it stand out, and then, like I said, I'll go over some 6.0 stuff. So I'll just talk about some of the features that it's easier to talk about them than to show them, and then we can go through and show some examples of specifically in Excel and things like that. So one of the biggest things we had in 5.5 was our Excel support. I think we've raised the bar as far as regarding accessing any sort of Excel document, just as we did with 5.0 inside Word. I think we've raised the bar supporting Word documents and things like that. When we do it, we make sure we do it right. We make sure all the edge cases are covered. We don't just do the simple documents. We make sure we get as complex documents. And I'll show you a worksheet that I have that has every possible chart type that you can generate in Excel. And we went through every one of those in agonizing detail to make sure that those work. I ran it through our competitors. The majority of them failed. The common ones work, but the really weird ones that I don't even know how to read them. It just failed. You couldn't get the data that you'd expect out of those. So we make sure that we do that. We also fix the problems in the core application. We found many bugs inside Word's DOM when we worked on that. We found less, to my surprise, in Excel, but we still found some bugs in Excel. We're finding them in PowerPoint. We're going to Microsoft, and they're actually creating hot fixes for those. Those hot fixes are currently all of them that we created for Word, and soon the Excel one, but all the Word ones are up on Office Windows Update, Office Update. They're all there right now, so you just get them if you just go up and get the latest updates. You know, our competitors, when we came out with this, we said, oh, you need to get these upgrades to make it work right, and they're saying, oh, you don't need those with ours. But actually, ours fixed theirs. By creating the hot fixes we did, it actually made their product better and more stable as well. So that's kind of the route we take. We make sure that things are working. Stability is always our number one concern whenever we do any of this. So I'm going to show you some Excel examples here shortly. The other big thing that we put in 5.5 was Firefox support, Mozilla Firefox, which is an alternative, a serious alternative to IE. It has some really good benefits. IE7 is trying to combat some of those things when IE7 comes out. But still, Firefox is a nice little neat, very quick browser that you can use with it. But we've also worked with IBM to work on some of the dynamic HTML support. These are applications are becoming more and more web-based. So they look like an application, but they're being rendered in your browser. And which means you don't really want to treat it like a static web page. So our standard browse mode just doesn't really cut it because you really think of it as an application now. And so we worked with IBM to, one, first of all, recognize we're in one of these environments. So when this web page comes in, our browse mode defaults to being off as opposed to being on and trying to treat it like a static page when you really don't want to. And then also we support a lot of their rich controls, their fancy controls that typically are not accessible on the web page. So, if we go to Mozilla.org, and I plan on doing this tomorrow morning, quickly just show some of the examples of some of the complex controls. Like a tree view typically is not accessible in a web page. Well, with Firefox and our DHTML support, it works really well.
With Firefox?
Not IE. Firefox.
Yeah.
Not IE yet. We're trying to work on Microsoft to support this same technology, but they so far have not done that. IBM is pushing it to make it, you know, accessible to IE as well. But the point is that we are working on a standard so that there's a standard way of doing this. So as application developers start integrating this into web-based, then they know how to do it and do it right so that it will become accessible when it works. And there's a lot of big-name companies that are seriously looking at this. You know, we've got AOL, Yahoo, names like that are starting to seriously look at this technology that's going on out there. And, of course, IBM. Some miscellaneous things that we did in 5.5, and our upgrade README goes into agonizing detail about all of the features. I just kind of picked some of the bigger ones, but I mean it goes on and on and on, and it talks about all the bug fixes that we did as well as the enhancements. But with the new one, we have a beginner, intermediate, and advanced mode on our menus. One of the things we found with Windowize is that it's got a lot of features, and as we kept putting these features up there, just kind of started making UI more complicated for beginning users. They would be intimidated by seeing all of these options up there. It was just like, whoa. So they're put off right away because of all these things that are up there that they don't understand. And so by default, when you install WinDWISE, you're in a beginner mode, which gives you just the basics that a beginner user would typically need. So we hide a lot of that other stuff from them, makes it much easier, more friendly for them initially. But there's also an intermediate, which adds some more functionality, and then the advanced, which brings it all back in as well. So the user can easily change that through a menu option of what they choose to do. And I put that in kind of kicking and screaming, thinking why, but I'm of course more techie, but it's been very well received. A lot of people really like that that can be done. We also got rid of the global options. It was confusing for users when we had our global speech and things like that, and then when you make the change, do you save the set, do you apply the settings? It was very confusing to users. They would make the change, save the set, shut down WinDWISE, restart it, and their voice rate went back to the old way. They wonder why, and sort of support department was handling that so much. That's usually what drives us, too, is if we get a lot of support problems that are always the same thing, then, hey, we're not doing something right. And so this was something that we changed. So we got rid of the global menu, and you just go to the stand one place to change the speech rate. WinDWISE knows if it's already set up for global or not. So you save the set, it automatically does it. So if you make a change, save the set, it's going to save. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And we also have an option to go into the sys tray now, so you get out of the alt-tab rotor. So we're not on the taskbar if you don't want it to be. That was a big hit. We also have a mobile install, which allows you to install WinDWISE on a USB drive or any external drive that you want to. So you can walk up to any other machine, plug it in, and run WinDWISE from that USB drive, pen drive, whatever. Now, in order to do that, you do need to install some system components on the system that you're plugging into. So we give you an executable that requires admin rights. So you need to go into this machine with admin privileges, install this one-time setup, and from that, that point on, that machine is ready to go. So you can just plug in your USB drive, launch WinDWISE from there, and run it. So the nice thing of that is your settings. If you make settings, you make configurations, they're on your pen drive. You go to the next machine, you've got your settings. You go to the next machine, you've got your settings. As opposed to putting WinDWISE on all the separate machines, and your settings aren't shared, so you have to make a change for every machine if you want to do that. So that actually has taken off considerably. Many people enjoy that. We also introduced a lease-to-own program, which allows you to purchase WinDWISE over time. So a lot of people we find that unfortunately are pushed with another screen reader, but then learn that they really would like something else but can't afford it. And the agency won't buy them another copy, of course, because they've already purchased it. So we opened up a lease-to-own program, which has become very popular, where you can buy it over time. So the first month you pay $50, and then it's $100 thereafter until you pay for it. And we have two LTO programs, LTO Plus and LTO Premium. Plus just has WinDWISE with one upgrade, and the Premium has WinDWISE with a full SMA or three upgrades. And so the LTO Plus is $950, so you got one payment of $50, nine payments of $100, and the Premium is $1,150, one payment of $50, 11 payments of $100. And so you just buy that over time. If a month comes along and you don't have the money, you don't buy it's 30 days at a time, so you get 30 days. After that 30 days, if you don't renew for the next 30, it turns into a 30-minute demo. So you can just go online, buy the next installment. It gives you a key, an unlocking key that you can put in, and it'll give you another 30 days. You could buy 2 months in a row if you want, and it'll give you 60 days. So however you want to do that, it's up to you how you want to do it. We basically give you whatever the total is, like a plus takes 10 months to do. You have 12 months to pay it off. If you don't pay it off within 12 months, then basically everything you've done is gone. You've lost all of that. And the premium takes 12 months to pay off, so you have 14 that you can actually pay it off in. So we give you a couple months grace period that you can slip if you need to do that. We also have a 60-day evaluation version now. We've always had the 30-minute demo, which actually is 35 minutes, but we call it a 30-minute demo. But you have a 60-day evaluation version now that'll run full bore for 60 days and then just shut down and start acting like a 30-minute demo. And that's $39. You actually pay for that. But that can be applied for a full copy of WinDWISE. So if you choose to purchase after playing with it, you can apply that $39 to that. Some other functionality, just real quickly ripping through some of these. We have a route to tooltip. We've always had route mouse to focus. Insert numpad plus always routes the mouse to whatever has focus. The problem is that a lot of times you'll have these balloon tooltips or other tooltips that might pop up, and it says, there's an upgrade available, click here to get it. Well, that's in some balloon that who knows where, and you can't get focus to it. You can't alt-tab to it. You could try to find the text by doing our mouse find, and hopefully you got it right and get it before it goes away. Or you can just do our route to focus twice. You hit it twice, it will then, the second press actually looks to see if there are any tooltips or balloon tips up there, puts the mouse right in the middle, then you can do a click and it's off and going. So it's just a real quick way to be able to get to those balloon health things that pop up. Autocomplete, if you're doing an email address in Eudora or Outlook, XP or Outlook 2003, if it's configured to do so, it can start auto-completing. So if I hit a D, it might automatically put up Doug at gwmicro.com. Well, in the past, we never read that, so now we'll actually read the new part that comes up. So it will say, hit D, it'll say Doug at gwmicro.com. I'll hit A, it'll say Dan at gwmicro.com, however that goes. Sonar support. If you're a Sonar user, the Sonar 4 and 5 now work really well with WindowEyes. We worked with their company and ours to make sure that stuff just works. We did just some cosmetic things just to kind of clarify, make, again, easier for the beginning user. We used to call, when you surf the web, we would call it MSA mode. That was our virtual mode of where you could browse the web. MSA mode, I mean, I guess I'd probably take the heat for that. Whoever came up with that should be shot. So I guess self-inflicted wounds here. That was just stupid. Technically, that's probably right way back when we started, but it just didn't make sense to anybody. So we now call that browse mode. So everything's the same. It works the same way, but we call it browse mode, which is much easier for people to understand, I think, as we deal with that. In Word, we just did a couple little things because actually our first support for Word in 5.0 was phenomenal, and we didn't really have to do much, but people wanted next and previous sentence, so we added that functionality in our 5.5 release. So Control Shift page up and page down will take you by sentence and read it. There's also paragraph as well. And just cleaned up a few other little things that people wanted us to do inside Word, but again, for the most part, it worked extremely well. And we also cleaned up things in IE and Outlook and just, again, some minor issues that people brought up. We supported some more Braille displays. We added support, of course, for our own Braille Sense, both serial and USB, so that is in there. Of course, you can run it Bluetooth also if you have the Bluetooth adapter. And added support for some Pappemeyer displays. The Brilliant displays came out. They had been shipping WindowEyes with every Brilliant display from HumanWare. They've since stopped that, but for close to a year, they were shipping WindowEyes with every Brilliant. And the Pronto Braille display, we added support for that as well. Lotus Notes cleaned up some things. Visual Studio cleaned up some things. Messenger 7.5 came out. We've got full support for that. I'm skipping over some of these things. Windows XP Media Edition, Media Center application, that had some issues. That's all been cleaned up. With WindowEyes, you get DeckTalk Access 32. The software version of DeckTalk comes with it, as well as Eloquence. People wanted the ability to be able to... Ann is here. People wanted the ability to switch sound cards.
Yes,
I think there was somebody in there that's constantly hounding us that. Yes, wanted to be able to specify the sound card that DeckTalk would come out through. So now you can specify the sound card for that voice to come through. So you can use the other sound card for audio purposes of other things. WindowEyes can be, WindowEyes was the first to support remote computing, Citrix, terminal services, remote desktop. But now we also allow you to install WindowEyes through remote session. You couldn't do that before. So now if you can't physically get at the server, but you still need to install WindowEyes on the server, you can do that through a remote session.
Doug, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Is there any Braille support for remote desktop?
Well, they're always...
You can't actually get Braille. I've never been able to get it.
You can actually do Braille today, but what the only way that you can do it today, and this leads up to something that I would like to add, but you can route the COM port from the server to your thing.
Okay.
So if you've got a serial Braille display, mm-hmm. you can just say route COM 1 from my server to COM 3 of my client machine, hook in your whatever, Braille, mm-hmm. whatever you got that's a serial device, configure WindowEyes on the server for that COM 1, whatever the device
right.
is, and it'll just work.
Okay.
So.
But you can't do that for USB?
Cannot do that. They don't have USB porting. What I'd like to be able to do is what we did with the sound card, or with the synthesizer. We wrote our own virtual channel that opens up, so we're not doing any COM port USB. We're just having WindowEyes talk to WindowEyes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do that for the Braille display as well.
Okay.
So at some point, we will do that. So then any Braille display, just like any synthesizer today, any Braille display could be used with our virtual channel. So I'd like to be able to do that. Do you have a serial Braille display now?
I have one serial and one USB.
Okay, so the serial can certainly be used today.
Yeah, unfortunately, the laptop which I use to connect to the desktop is only USB, so it's,
you know.
USB to serial converter.
There you go.
I know, I have one of those too, so.
That should work.
Yeah.
And of course, we always work on stability. WindowEyes is still the only screen reader that offers the error reporting, the similar error reporting that Microsoft has when an app blows up. It says, do you want to send to Microsoft?
Yep.
Well, if WindowEyes was the culprit or WindowEyes was just involved, it says, do you want to send it to GW Micro? And it gives us very detailed information that we can go through without duplicating the blow up. We can, you know, 80-90% of the time, we can resolve the issue just based on the feedback that we got. And your Visa number is just a plus that we sent to you.
Got it.
But there's none of that stuff that goes through. It's all boring, dry code stuff that just goes out. It does tell us what applications you're running, so be careful. But it doesn't tell us what web pages you're on. We don't know.
Oh, good.
No, we don't get that detail. And also, we are we're just now starting to launch a JAWS layout because we understand there's a lot of JAWS users, but they are having a really hard time coming over just because they've been JAWS users for so long. They know the keystrokes inside and out. They're trying to give WindowEyes a fair chance, but they keep hitting JAWS keystrokes, getting frustrated, throwing WindowEyes out the window. So this, I think, will help that transition phase. And so we actually have a session just strictly talking about the JAWS layout for those people, and it's helped. I mean, we've gotten tremendous feedback on it so far that people have really found that exciting to be able to help these people come over. So those are some quick miscellaneous things in 5.5. I'm going to specifically show some things, but then I also want to just talk about 6.0, which is our next version that we're working on. We're always working on the next version. Never stops. And so we're going to be calling that WindowEyes 6.0. And our first thing is Microsoft has just really thrown things at us this year. We've got Windows Vista, which is the next operating system. It's the next version past XP. We actually have a machine in our booth running Windows Vista with WindowEyes on it right now, so you can actually see it does work. There's no smokes and mirrors. You can sit at the keyboard and do your thing. It actually works really nice. It's got Office installed on it. It comes with IE7. You wouldn't even realize you're on Vista. It just has the feel of XP as far as when you're running applications. Some of the UI of Vista is a little different, but again, nothing is really killing us here. So hopefully we're on track with that, even though Microsoft, just before we came here, pushed the release to early 2007 now. It was supposed to be Christmas time of this year. They pushed it back. So then we're also working with the Office 12, which is now called Office 2007, the next release of Office. I actually did a co-presentation with Microsoft yesterday. And was able to show WindowEyes with Office, so that
did
was
a good job.
Cool. Thank
did
you.
A good job.
Thank you. Yeah, they've actually been working really well with us. It's nice to have a team that is excited about accessibility, and so we have been working very closely with them to make sure that when it's released, we'll be ready. That should be out at the end of the year, so our 6.0 version should fully support that. IE7, of course, that's been around for a little bit in beta and things like that. It's coming with Vista. We're making sure that all that stuff works. Actually, 5.5 works really well with it. There's just some things that we want to clean up that they still hadn't finalized when we released 5.5. So we'll make sure all that stuff works well. And one of the biggest things in 6.0 is our PowerPoint support. So I think we've done a killer Word, we've done a killer Excel, and now we're going to do a killer PowerPoint so that you can create PowerPoint presentations, you can play them back, and be fully accessible in that process. So that is actually, we're about maybe 80% of the way there right now. And I can show some people how you can actually create a PowerPoint slide, how you can play it back right now. So it actually works very nicely. We'd like to beef up a little bit in Outlook, trying to get the calendar to be a little bit more accessible, and maybe dealing with attachments and email a little bit easier for users to deal with. So not a lot to Outlook, because for the most part it works really well, but we want to clean up some of those things. We have a key describer right now that's actually fully implemented that will be shipping in 6.0. So when you go into that mode, you can hit any key on the keyboard and it'll tell you what the key is. If it's a WindowEyes command, it will tell you what the command is. So if I hit control, like I want to see what read line is, I'll hit control, it'll say control. I'll hit the numpad 5, it'll say 5. And then it'll say read current line or whatever we say for that. It reads current line and then a cursor type of thing. If I have a Braille display, I hit a Braille key, it'll tell me what that Braille key is labeled. And if it's a command, a hotkey that you've set up on the Braille display, it will tell you what that command does. So people have been asking for that a long time. We want to add a lot more, again, for these beginning users to help them get going with this. So there's lots of things we'd like to do, beef up our context sense of help, that type of thing, just to kind of help beginning users. And we're going to be doing some Braille enhancements. We've kind of neglected Braille for a little while. I still think it's excellent Braille support. I think it's superior if it's a deaf blind user. I think we've got the best support out there for that today. But we knew that there were some things that we could do. So my problem is I was getting this Braille user saying, we need this feature. This Braille user over there saying, no, you don't need that. You need this. And we were getting in all directions. So we basically put all of these Braille guys that we know into one room, so to say, through email. And the last one standing wins, I guess. But actually, they all did work together. They all give and take.
We played nice.
And, that's right, Marlene was one. And so they came up with a list of the top 10 things in a prioritized way, which really helped me because, again, it was impossible with all the directions people were asking. So that was a great, you know, kind of a consortium that got together and helped us. So we couldn't do everything that they came up with, but we are doing a pretty impressive number of the things that they came up with and suggested for us. So that will be in 6.0 as well. So now what I'd like, unless you have something better that you want me to show or to work with, but I'd like to just go, launch Excel and just kind of go over some of the functionality that I think back up some of the statements where I say we've raised the bar and I think we're number one in Excel. Is that fine? Anybody else want to see anything else? I'm going to go ahead and launch Excel.
Programs implement. Settings of folder. Oh, August 2000. August. Microsoft. August. Microsoft. Menu closed. Start. Button.
I'm just going to launch Excel 2003. But first of all, in the past, we were having to be dependent on toolbars being in certain locations so that we could pull off the screen the cell position you're in. And it just got too messy to do that. So now we don't care how Excel comes up, what toolbars are on. We don't care because we're talking directly to Excel now. We're not pulling as little as we possibly can from the screen. We're doing as minimal of that as we possibly can. The rest we're talking directly to Excel. So there's no room for error in any of this, just as we've done with Word. So when we're reading the text in Word, we're going directly to Word to read it. There's no possible of error. And that's not true with all the other screen readers. And one way to determine that, one typical example I like to show when somebody says, why do you think Word is better, or WindowEyes is better? Bring up in Word, bring up a document that shows two pages side by side up on the screen and read the current line. Because they're using the off-screen model, it goes right across both pages. That's not too easy to read a document when you're reading right across both pages. And you might say, well, why would I have double pages? Well, sometimes I just bring in a document and it comes up that way. And so I don't even realize it. And if I'm reading, it's just not good. Or another one was, I'll have a comment that's shown up on the right border of my document. So I have one page up, but I have a comment that's visibly showing on the right border. I read current line, it reads the line, and then it happens to read whatever line, again, happened to be in that comment, which may not even be anywhere close to the line I'm on, because of, you know, whatever. So that's the problem of using the off-screen model. You don't know where to stop, what's a line. So by talking directly to Word, we can keep all of that. Well, back to Excel. I'm going to load in a document here real quick. It's a totally useless document, but it brings up some examples of some things. Not only should a screen reader express the information, but it needs to give the blind user confidence of what this is going to look like when it prints. And here's some really good examples of
C1.
So I'm going to go through, I'm just going to arrow down through some of these cells that I put in some data and listen to what it says here.
C2, doesn't it seem weird with the cell over left to right to left?
So first of all, it said C2, and then it read its contents, which was, does anything seem weird with this cell? And then it said, overlaps to right to left. So again, reading the information is one thing, but it's nice to know that, hey, this was too wide for the cell. It's now overlapping two cells to the left, and it's overlapping two cells to the right. So I know that it's visually taking, really, five columns to display this text. Well, let's go down again.
C3.
That's blank.
C4. How about the cell clipped?
So it said, how about this cell, and then said clipped. Well, all visually I see is about, all I see is how about on the screen. But the full text was, how about this cell? So this cell got clipped. Because instead of overlapping the cell to the right, the cell to the right had data. So if the cell to the right has data, it doesn't overlap it, it clips my text. And so again, a lot of the screen readers will tell you the data, and you think, oh, okay, it's there, and you go to print it out, and it's not there. It got clipped. So WindowEyes will tell you that it actually has been clipped. Let's go down again.
C5.
Blank.
C6. Does this sound okay? Wrapped.
So does this sound okay? And it said wrapped. And this cell was configured to be wrapped. If the data didn't fit, it was told to wrap in the cell, which makes the row higher. But again, it's nice to know that. It's nice to know that it's had to wrap. Not just that the cell is configured to wrap, but that it really did wrap.
C7.
And that's what I've seen, too, is that some of the other options out there, what they do is they look at the cell parameters, and the cell parameters set up to wrap. And so they'll say wrapped, whether it wrapped or not. And so we only tell you that it's wrapped if the data truly wrapped. Had to wrap.
C8, this is really two cells, merge two columns.
So this one says this is really two cells because it's two cells that were merged, and it told me merged two cells. So again, Excel told me, or WindowEyes told me, that this is really two merged cells, and that can be very important to know that as you're going around. Let me go down.
C9.
That's blank. Here we go.
C10. And this gets really small, shrunk to fit.
And this gets really small, shrunk to fit. I can't even visually see that. It's just a bunch of pixels up on the screen because I put too much text for the cell that I'm in, so it shrunk it to fit. This cell was configured in Excel to shrink the data to make sure it fits in the cell. Well, it shrunk it so much, I can't even read it. But WindowEyes read it, told you it shrunk to fit. Let's go down one more here.
C12. This is crazy. Rotate 45 of.
So oh, jeez.
So that tells me visually that it's rotated at 45 degrees up, which means, you know, you're always writing left to right. So it starts low and goes up at 45 degree angles. So whatever the angle is, we can tell you that. So any combinations of these things that you might have will tell you. And this is all handled through verbosity. Maybe you could care less about these things. I think they're wonderful. Maybe you think they're useless. If you do, you can go in and shut it off and say, don't tell me about this one, boys. But you can do that as well. And that's done through our verbosity dialogue. So no matter what application you're in, you can always do insert V, which pops up our verbosity dialogue. And depending on where you are, it will give you, it will default the verbosity to whatever app I'm in, typically. So if I'm in IE and I do insert V, it will start me with the browse mode functionality. If I'm in Word, it'll start me with the Word. I'm in Excel now, so if I do insert V,
elements, cell information, one.
It defaults to the Excel group of information. There's several groups of verbosity, but and they're broken up into different groups. This one happens to be the Excel group, which is already highlighted, and it takes me to the first element type of Excel, which is cell information. There's a bunch of checkboxes off to the right of this that allow me to, I can turn on and off. One is the contents. So if I tab over.
Contents. Checkbox. Check.
Do I want to hear the contents of a cell as you arrow around? You may think, why would I not want to? But if I'm a low vision user, maybe I don't want to hear it because I can see it well enough and I don't want to hear it. So I could uncheck that if I want. The position as you're moving around, do you want to hear it before or after the data or don't want to hear it at all? So you want to hear C5 blah or blah C5 or just blah. You have control over that. And here's all the other ones. Formula, do you want WindowEyes to just tell you has formula? Has comment? Has hyperlink? Clipped, which we showed. Wrapped, which we showed. Overlapped. Merged. Shrunk, which we showed all those. Affect cells. If I move to a cell that is used by another cell, it will say affect cells. So you know that this cell is being used by some other cell. Even sighted, you don't know that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. So why should we give blind users more functionality than sighted users?
Why not?
That's discrimination.
What's covered by cell description?
The cell description.
Cell description, yeah, the first one.
The contents?
Uh-huh.
The contents is the data of the cell.
Yeah. Well, what's neat about that is you could have it, when you're designing your spreadsheet, just have all of the extra verbosity turned off, and then you could turn it on before you print it and make sure that all the cells fit properly.
Oh, absolutely, right. Yeah. Yeah, so you can, yeah, it all depends on your style of how you're doing it. But yeah, this could get in the way. I mean, it's kind of like turning on all attribute changes in Word while you're creating your document and all punctuation. Like, I can't do that. So, yeah, you might want to squelch this initially and then turn it back on after the fact. Also, if there's an auto filter, Excel allows you the ability of, it's kind of like a combo box that you can filter the data that's being displayed up there. If you go to a cell that's a filter, WindowEyes will tell you that, and then you can interact with it. But otherwise, if we don't tell you, you don't even have a clue that's ability. Visually, you can tell it because there's like a down arrow up in the screen. Orientation, which we showed because it told me that was rotated 45 degrees. If there's an input message, visually I can tell if there's an input message because there's a little visual indicator in the cell, and I can take the mouse and hover over it, and it will give me a clue of how I'm supposed to insert data or whatever. It's just a little input message. WindowEyes will automatically read that if this is enabled. Conditional formatting, so if the cell says, you know, if the data is less than 500, do this. If it's greater than 500, do that. We can tell you that the cell is set up to be a conditional formatting. Typically, there's like color changes and things like that, but that doesn't even have to be. So again, we're giving information that a sighted user may not even know about. The number format, how the cell is formatted, whether it's currency or accounting or date or time, however that cell has been configured, WindowEyes can tell you that. If it's general, which is the default, we don't say anything. So we don't say something every cell. But you can do that. And then also, the only one that we don't check is border. So we can tell you the border around the cell that you're in. Again, if you really want to know how this is going to look, we'll tell you how that border is around the cell. So that's just basic cell information that you can do. But then if I go back to the element types of Excel, there's a miscellaneous group, a selection group, and a summary group. The miscellaneous group just allows me to, what do I want to hear when the document gets focused? Do I want to hear the workbook name, the worksheet name? Do I automatically want to dock toolbars so that they're not sitting on top of my Excel document space? Do I want to hear things in inches, centimeters, millimeters, or points? I can set all of that through our verbosity.
Selection, 3 of 4.
And then as you're selecting cells, it's a complicated process, selecting cells in Excel, to verbalize that. Because when you think about how you're selecting cells, you could be selecting tons of data, and how do you represent that through speech? But we give the user a couple ways of doing it. So, and I'll show you some selection methods that we're doing. But you have some verbosity options that can either read more data or less data as you're selecting. So and then just in general, if you do like a speak summary within the document, we can tell you, the workbook name, worksheet name, the number of worksheets that are there, the number of comments that are there, the number of hyperlinks, number of objects, number of charts. And you can make these counts relative to the entire workbook or relative to the current worksheet. So just lots of information that you know, when you first get a spreadsheet, you need to learn something about it, and that's one way to be able to tell it.
Do you have a command to show all the objects so you can quickly get to an object if it's in there?
Yes. What command do you think that would be? To be consistent with IE and Word, we use our same page navigation, the Insert Tab. So just as if I were in browse mode and I can do Insert Tab and it'll tell me all the links and frames and tables and lists and blah, blah, blah. I can do Insert Tab in here, and it will allow me to select lots of those, including objects, including charts, things like that that might get there. So I can show that. So let me go into... And then we've also added some more hotkeys. Up in the hotkey dialog, we have an office group, which has the Word hotkeys. It has the Excel hotkeys and things like that in there. So there's some additional hotkeys that you might have as far as navigating around. I'm going to show you some of those hotkeys right now. I'm going to load a different spreadsheet in here real quick.
Read, menu
closed. So, first of all, what I should do is get rid of from my demo.
I
was showing the same thing yesterday. I'm about to create some headers for this thing, but it's document specific. So when I made those changes, it stored it specifically for this document. So they're still there. So when I pull up this spreadsheet, it's going to automatically start reading these headers for me. I want to show you without them and show you how to create them. So I'm going to go to our document specific dialog and say
menu closed.
Delete
application document space.
I should have done this ahead of time.
No M. Okay.
I'm going to get rid of all of them.
Documents space. No M. Y. Okay.
So again, these are the settings that we make for this that I'm about to make are worksheet specific. So anytime I bring this worksheet up and this workbook, these settings will take hold, and they remember that. And that's why I want to get rid of it. So if I want to hand this spreadsheet to somebody else, I could export these document-specific settings for this workbook, give them the workbook, give them my exported settings. They can import those settings into WindowEyes, load in the Excel workbook, and it'll just work flawlessly. So what I'm going to do here, I'll describe this spreadsheet. It's pretty simple, but it's pretty common on how it's used. It's just a bunch of data through the months January through December, and it has on headers going across in rows. I put across the entire top, it says 2005. Across all 12 months, it says 2005. They took all 12 columns and merged them into one and says 2005. Then in the next row down, they broke it up into quarters. So the first 3 months are going to merge together in that cell. Those three cells are merged and it says Q1, and then there's the next three are merged into Q2 all the way across. And then below that, they have each column is January, February, March all the way across. And then on the left side, they broke it down. They have on the first column, I have a header called house, which is vertical. And I can go down there and read that.
The floor, house, rotate 90 up, merge 4 rows.
So again, this is, they've merged 4 rows going up across there. So I've got first, these 4 rows are all talking about my house. And they specifically talk about
electric,
gas, water, and trash. So the second column breaks the house down into those 4 groups. So if I were to read this, I would say something like, I'm in 2005, quarter one, February, house electric is $50. I mean, that's a lot of stuff that I could pull off visually just based on how this thing was laid out. But if I just arrow around right now in that same cell that I just read off.
$20.05.
Shoot, I still remembered it. I didn't realize that. Let me delete my headers here one more.
Head box, header auto name Microsoft International, close window.
I still remember them, so I'm going to shut that down and bring it back up.
Menu close, P1, 1, C, D4, $50.00.
So it says
sales accounting.
D4, $50, accounting meant the cells is formatted for accounting. And it puts me on that. But of course that's useless. If I move again.
D4, $50.00. Effect sales accounting.
So it tells me effect sales, so that's kind of cool. So I know that somebody's using this data somewhere. And I can find out. Excel can tell me specifically which ones. But I want to be able to hear these headers as I move around in this thing. So I know that from the description, we know that the first three rows are used for column headers. We know the first two columns are used for row headers. So I can either manually go in and tell our dialog where this is, or what I'm going to do ahead of time is select the rows and columns that I want to do. So I'm going to select some data in Excel that include the first three rows and include the first two columns. So I'm in A1 right now. I'm just going to shift right arrow one time.
C1, 2005.
I wasn't in A1. Now I'm in A1. Now I'm going to shift right one time.
Select B1, one row, two columns.
So it tells me I'm one row, two columns. I'm going to now shift down arrow.
Select B2, two rows, two columns.
So now I'm two rows, two columns. I'm going to go down again with shift down.
Select B3, rows, two columns.
So I know that I have that selected. I can always do, after I have a selection, I can always do my read marked block, which is Control Shift M.
Selected A1 to B3, active cell 1.
So selected A1 to B3, active cell A1. So within my selection, the active cell is A1 at the moment. It's just data we give you. But now that I've selected the rows and columns I want, I can do my Alt Shift H.
Add box, header with total name D.
This brings up our headers and totals dialog, which is a very powerful dialog, and I'm not going to go into all the details of this, but I'm going to use it specifically for giving me headers and column totals on this particular spreadsheet. So one of the cells that one of the edit boxes, which we don't default to, actually shows A1 colon B3. It's called rows and columns to use. It pulled in the data A1 colon B3 because I had that selected up there before. If I want to override that and type my own parameters, I can do that up there if I want. But it defaults it to a header or total name edit box. This is a name that I can give this particular setting. I'm going to set up headers, so I'm just going to call it my headers.
And A1, A2, A3, A4, S.
It's totally for your edification of what you call this thing. So I'm going to call it that, tab. It says, okay, for these headers that you're about to set up, what region do you want them to be associated with? I can set it up for the current Excel region, which is an Excel term. I can set it up for my full worksheet, or I can set it up for a custom region that I can set up, however I want to do that. I'm just going to go down to the full worksheet. I'm going to say, use these rows and these columns for the entire worksheet as I'm going across.
Type, row header, radio button.
So it says the type that I'm setting up. Is this row headers only? Is it
region type? Column header Z.
Column
radio
headers
button,
only?
Check.
Or
two,
is it?
Region type. Row and column header H. Radio button. Check. 3 of 6.
So row and header columns is what I'm setting up. So I'm going to leave it set for that.
Always read header Y. Checkbox.
So here's a checkbox that says always read headers. This is saying regardless of which direction you move, do you always want to read the column and row headers all the time? Or do you want to be smarter and only read the ones that change? So if I'm going across the columns, I don't want to always hear the same row header because I'm on that row.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what that's for. But I'm going to leave that alone. So I'm going to go ahead and say OK to this.
Microsoft Excel manual.
And now I'm going to go down and arrow down back over where I was.
2005215. $50.00. Effect sales accounting.
Wow. So that was actually reading the information that I would expect. And I'm going to
add box. Do text. Add space. My header row column header. My header, row, column, header. 1.
So now these settings are stored there. It will always remember these. So as I move around.
$50.00.
So notice it's only reading the ones that change. I went down there. It's just telling me.
House water. $50.00.
House water. I'm just going down. So I'm already in 2005 Q1 Feb. I'm just going down.
House ranch. $54.00. Effect sales accounting.
So if I go right.
2005 Q1 Mark. $50.00.
Go right again.
2005 Q2 Amber.
$57. So again, it's just reading the headers as you would expect. So it's very simple to set up the headers. And again, since it's document specific, you can really create this and deal with it. But one of the other things I want to show real quick is in that same dialog, you also have the ability of being able to set it up not only to read headers, but also some cells that maybe are changing based on this cell. So I can read, that's why it's called totals. I can go down and automatically set up some cells that I just want to read relative to where I'm at. For instance, I'm going across these columns. I want to always read the column totals that are going down there. I could set up a header to always read me the total for that column that I'm sitting in. There's lots of power to that, and without really getting into Excel and giving some real specific examples, it's hard to show that. Or you can just press our default key, which is Alt-Shift-T.
Annual house rank $668.00, $20.05, $22, and total $365.00.
What this did was it said, okay, what cells are using the current active cell? start with the formula equals sum, and I'm going to read those. And so it went across, it read my row title, which said annual, $668. So that's the annual sales for my trash for 2005. And then it went down and said, okay, the 2005 Q2 April total is $365, which is the total of all of my expenses for April. So it just read those, it just automatically found those two headers and read that automatically for me. And that was based on the formula starting with sum.
You can actually do cross-clicking with it then.
Do what?
You can actually do cross-clicking with it.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's all kind of cool stuff that you can do. And so that's just automatic that you can read it. But suppose you've got a cell that you just want to monitor real quickly that may not be specifically related to this cell or whatever. We also have what we call monitoring cells that you can set up and specifically monitor any cell in any worksheet of this workbook. So I can be in here and manually hit a keystroke and it'll go read a cell on a different worksheet on my workbook that I can't even see visually. Tell me the contents of that. Or I can just manually say, anytime that cell changes, automatically read it to me. Again, it could be a cell that got changed over on worksheet 3, and I'm on 1, but if it changed, it'll automatically read it to me. And there's unlimited number of monitor cells that you can send.
Some people can't do that.
What's that?
Some people can't do that.
They've got to flip back and forth.
They've
got to flip back and forth.
That's
so
by window eyes.
That's by window eyes. That's great.
Yes. So it does give you real quick access to that type of data. And it's very simple to set up the monitoring cells. We made it very simple. For instance, let me go down to the annual.
With the old mic,
here is
me. Total.
This is the grand total for the whole year, for all of my expenses. This is just a summation of all the columns and all the rows in this one cell. So if I do an Alt-Shift-M.
Dialogue.
All I have to do is listen to what that name said, and I just silenced that.
Quick one.
It said quick one. So by default, window-wise, because there were no other quick monitor cells, and we have 10 quick monitor cells, because I can have 10 keys that will just read them real quickly. So all I did was get to the cell that I want, hit Alt-Shift-M, hit Enter,
Microsoft,
and now when I press, because that was quick 1, I can do Alt-Shift-1,
$11,504.00,
and it reads that to me. So no matter where I'm at, I do Alt-Shift-1, Now I can get fancier with that, because that was a quick. That just said read the contents. But I could go back in there and I could say, okay, don't not only read the contents, but read me the header of it as well. Tell me that it's annual, you know, annual total or whatever it is, whatever the total might be. But that's how we can quickly at least monitor a monitoring cell if you're going through. Then I also want to bring up another spreadsheet, which is my famous chart spreadsheet.
3, menu closed, secure, Microsoft Excel, and mobile and header.excel.
Okay, so again, this one has 11 worksheets. So there are 11 types of charts, but then within each of those charts, there's several 15 or so subtypes of charts that you can do with that. So we, again, created this workbook with all the different types of charts. And I want to show you how you can actually get that information with WindowEyes, because charts are obviously very visual. So I specifically picked this particular chart, which is it's a type of bar chart. But it's got 3 series of datas in there. And the chart itself came up with Focus, but I could have used my Insert tab. And I'll just show you how that works. I'm going to bring up Insert tab, which is what... Actually, let me do Insert tab again.
On left, Insert, Comments work.
So in our Insert tab dialog, we have the ability of being able to show all the comments, all the hyperlinks, all the comments, objects, hyperlinks, named areas, cells and columns, cells and row, page breaks, monitor cells, worksheets, and charts. All of those things I can select, however I want to be able to do it. So I could have just selected the chart types, selected the particular chart that I want, and it will then show up in that area. And I can show this relative to the entire worksheet or the entire workbook.
Microsoft Excel Floor. Bar chart temporary design. Floor. Bar chart temporary design bar. Chart area.
What happened to my... Okay, chart area.
Microsoft Excel Dash, Model and Headers of XLS. Excel Work of XL, with Model and Headers of XLS. Model and Headers of File F, New, 1, 1 Points Link, Microsoft Excel Dash.
Okay, you put too many keys. If I do Insert E on this chart.
Okay, button, dial.
So this particular chart had Focus, whether I got it there from Insert tab or however I got it there. If this brings up our standard element properties dialog, the same key I could press in IE, I could press in Word. It just gives you detailed information about what currently has focus. So if I tab over
read
here
only.
And read this, the first
chart
one
area.
Is chart area. So I'm in the chart area of this chart.
Chart type of color, print, but useless sales performance chart.
Right? That's the name of the chart.
Chart name called bar chart 10.
So that's the Excel name. It's a bar chart type 10.
Chart type called 3D stacked bar.
It's a 3D stacked bar type chart.
Series 1 called, series name called West Coast.
So there's series 1 of this is called West Coast.
Point count called 40.
There are 14 points within this series.
Access group called primary.
It's the primary access group.
Series type called 3D stacked bar.
Again, this series is still a 3D stacked bar.
Value 1 left brand after right brand called $0.99.
And then I can go through all 14 points of this. I can then arrow down through and go to series 2 and keep down arrowing through series 3 and all of that business. Yep. But also, if I keep going down through this, there's all sorts of data in here. But I can go access 1.
Caption called employee.
It can tell me that the access 1 type, it's called employees.
Access type called category.
Yeah, the access type is category. Access I can just get agonizing detail out of all of the stuff that's in here. I can get color information. I can get border information. I can get all of this stuff that I choose to do. We've broken this up into two groups. The first half is just the data, and then there's a line that goes across and says advanced information. Below that, it gives you more detailed visual information of how this table visually looks up on the screen. You can kind of just deal with that. So that's one way that you can get the data, and any of these types of charts can get you that data. But Excel also has the ability of being able to arrow through the different components of the chart. So once the chart has focus, I can just hit down arrow.
East Coast 14 primary access 3D stack bar series.
So Excel is taking me through the element types of this chart, and whenever I get to a type that I want to know more about, I can do my insert E just for that type, and it will bring up information relative to that. So if I go to
Midwest 14 primary access,
so here's my Midwest series, I can do insert E here,
okay.
And it's just going to show me the information on Midwest. It's not going to show me all the gory stuff about the entire chart. So you can actually arrow to the component you're really interested in, bring this up, and do it. Some of the other screeners out there actually
Midwest
block this functionality. You're not allowed to arrow through that, but that's an Excel feature that we felt was pretty powerful that you weren't able to deal with. So, you know, literally anything that you can do with Excel can be exposed, with one exception that I know of, and that's revisions. If you do revisions within Excel, that just doesn't work, and that's a problem with Microsoft that we're working with. But everything else in there, we feel, can be exposed through Windows.
How do you read a comment? Say you see that there's a comment associated with a cell.
Mm-hmm. Let me just go back to a super procedure. Just put one in here real quick.
Add cell comment. Add cell comment. Space.
So I just did Shift F2, which is the quick way to bring up a comment. And let me go ahead and bring it up. So now when I move over to it, visually I see a little teeny rectangle up there that tells me that there's a comment. But if I arrow right, one more time,
2005237 has comment.
So it tells me it has comment. And what I can do then is press Alt Shift C, and it will actually read me the contents of that comment. Or I could do, bring it up with Shift F2, and I could then arrow through it if I want to. Or I can do my Insert Tab. So I can bring up my Insert Tab. It comes up and shows me that there is one comment. I'm sitting on it. Bow instead of Bob there. Sorry about that.
That's so cool.
But so I can arrow through all the comments in my spreadsheet through this list box. I only have one. But if I tab off of the one that I have selected, I just tab off.
Read only. Add box. Miscellaneous information type. Size 0.43 by 0.25 inches. Hidden. With 0.12 and 16. Cell contents length. Text.geogram. Testing this as a comment for both.
So it gave me lots of information about the comment. It told me that the size of it was 0.43 inches by 0.25 inches. That's the size of the rectangle of the comment. It told me that it's hidden, meaning it's not always visible. But if it were visible, it would obscure cells L12 to N16. When it comes up. So I know that if I do make it visible, it's going to hide those cells. And the cell contents that contains the comment was blank. Had it had data, it would have been there. And then it gave me all the text for the comment as well. So all in the Insert Tab dialog, you have that, which is very cool. And of course, if I hit Enter on any of these, it will take me to that cell that has the comment.
And if there was an object, it would take you to the chart, for example. If you had a comment in a chart, you would just press Enter in the chart where the comment would open, depending on what cell you're on.
Yes. Yeah, it depends on if the cell is typically the comments don't open automatically. They're either always up or always off. They don't come up on active. But it'll tell you that it's there and you can read it. So it doesn't matter if it's visible or not, although WindowEyes will tell you if it's visible or not and if it obscures any information. But since we've got this insert tab dialog up, again, I can show all the hyperlinks and objects that we talked about, named areas. But one cool thing, too, is cells in column. So I highlight a cell, and it will show me all the cells that are within that column that have data. So it'll skip all the blank cells, but all the cells in that column that have data, and I don't care how long your tall your spreadsheet is, it will show you all of those. You can then arrow up and down through all that information. You can then either hit enter and it'll take you to the one you want, or you can also say select item, which will select all of those cells, even though they may not be continuous, and then you could tab through them using Excel. So there's all sorts of things. I mean, you have to be sort of a node cell to be able to take full advantage of a lot of this stuff, but it does give you the power if you are a power Excel user.
And the show cells in common, show cells in row, those are all in the insert tab dialog.
Yes.
You just check the one you want.
Exactly. It's a readable one. That's different than, you know, that's kind of a philosophy difference also from us with the other guys, is that we have one keystroke with radio buttons versus 50 keystrokes you got to remember to be able to get the function that you want.
That's neat.
So, and that's always been our philosophy, whether you're in IE or Word or any place that the insert tab dialog is working. It just saves on keystrokes. There's just too many keyboard conflicts and things like that. Again, the other thing that I could show would be Firefox, if anybody's interested in that. You want to see some of that?
Microsoft.
I'm running out of
yes,
time.
N. Microsoft 11. P. Programs. M. My Bluetooth. M. F. Mozilla Firefox. Menu close.
So Firefox, again, works very much like IE. So for showing web pages and things, you wouldn't know that I'm currently using... You wouldn't know that I'm using Firefox. You would think that I'm using IE. So all of the things that I could show are the same. The only thing that I could show that really stands out with Firefox is the dynamic HTML.
Right.
And I can go to some of those sites and show you how some of those that functionality works.
I've
got that bookmarked.
Bookmarks.
Let me go to like the tree view example. For instance. So I'm going actually out to a web page that has this tree view in it. Hopefully you're
working. Accessible HTML tree view.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn, this page was not marked, this page was just to kind of show you a sample of a tree view. It was not marked to be start browse mode off. It could have easily been tagged that way, but it's not. So I'm going to turn our browse mode off.
Browse off.
And I'm going
to
just tab.
Expanded 3.1.3.1. Tree view.
This looks just like a tree view to me, but it's a widget on the, you know, the browser. It's being rendered out here through DHTML. So if I arrow through this.
3. Expanded 4.1.3.2.
It gives me that same rich information you expect from a tree view. If I close that.
3. Close 1.3.
I'm just left and right arrowing through that. So the tree view just works. And the same, they've got menu controls, they've got you know, the standard checkboxes, the radio buttons and things like that, and all sliders and things like that. But it just works, and that's the point of it.
Doug, I have a question. One of the things that I hear a lot is where do I find training resources? And I mean, I know there's, you know, Clarence who goes around and stuff, but... are you going to get some tutorials available for people to download or purchase?
Right, we understand that's a concern. I mean, there's lots of documentation that talks about how to use the application, but it's not geared at all, of course, around the keyboard or just accessibility
right.
in general. So they're going to say grab the mouse and click the thing. So we
right.
know that we need to clean that up. So we are looking at making some things for Word, IE, or just browse mode in general, and Excel, PowerPoint, things like that. So we are looking at making some internal tutorials that can deal with that. So
yeah, and I mean, that's what I'm specifically speaking of is Windowized tutorials, not app tutorials.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, well, we need to teach the app too, because a lot of people don't know how to use PowerPoint, for instance, because it wasn't very accessible. So you've got to catch 22. You've got to teach them a little of both. So what we'd like to do is teach them how to use PowerPoint on a basic level with Windowize coming along and teach you enough about you know, both of them at the same time. And the same with Excel.
While we're on the subject of tutorials, everything I've seen you have, I know you've got a basic one for 5.0. I don't know if there's one for 5.5, unfortunately. But to download the MP3 file, it's a very, very large file. And at the risk of sounding very ignorant, is there any way that that can be broken up? Because one of the things that I find is that I want to listen to it, but I get like a quarter of the way into it, and if I have to stop, then I have to try to go all the way back through it. Is there any way that it can be broken up? Or
well, on the web page, it is broken up. So if you go to our web page, you can stream
that.
Down to different sections, and you can do that.
Yeah.
You've done that there.
Each my apologies, folks. I don't mean to sound ignorant.
Well, the only reason we haven't done it on our CD is because the tutorial is designed to teach you how to use Windows, how to install Windows. And so if you don't have Windows already installed and the tutorials are in different sections, you have no voice to help you navigate to the different sections. And so we just started it out there reading it for you. So
I'll go back and make
so we're trying to figure out the best way. But yeah, on the web page is your best way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
sort of an open-ended question. Where do you guys stand with Microsoft Access right now, as far as accessibility? And the reason I'm asking is because my job is to support several employees at the state level, and one of the things that they use to design our in-house applications is Microsoft Access. So
well, Access is problematic no matter what screen you're using, and I don't care what that screen your manufacturer sets, it's problematic. And so we have users that are using Access with Window Eyes, and you know, they're power users, and they know how to get around some of the glitches and things like that. My only hope is that I've been working, as I said, with Office 2007, their team. The office manager, or the product manager for Access, has really been working hard on accessibility. We've not taken a look at it yet, just because we've been so busy with the other things. But we plan on taking a look at what they've done, and hopefully that will clean up 90% of the issues that are out there and make that better. But that's going to be 2007. It's not going to be retroed into XP or 2003.
You mentioned that in 6.0 you'll have a key describer function.
Yes.
Will that speak all the keys, like even shift and control? And
right. That's actually implemented today, so I could show you that today if you wanted. But yes.
Oh, cool.
So actually, let me just...
Especially in training context, it would really help.
What's that again?
In the training context, where you have people that they're actually afraid to... You know, press keys because they don't want it to do something that's going to mess it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Right.
Oh, hey, I'm trying to remember. We haven't set a default hotkey for this yet, so I'm going to see what I actually set this for. Okay, I just did insert F12, but we're going to come up with something better for that. So I'm going to hit insert F12. So it says key describer on. I'm inside IE right now, so if I hit A.
Anchor next. Move to the next anchor and read the first line of text associated with the anchor.
Yes.
What's next? Move to the next.
Or if I hit control, shift.
Shift.
F12.
F12.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything, but it's reading it as a...
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know that...
Pause.
Yeah, pause.
Throw a log on.
Print screen doesn't read anything. It's probably the only one that doesn't read.
Escape. Insert. And. Right there.
If I do control, numpad 5. Oh, man, I'm locked on now.
Numlock, control center, line. What is the line containing the cursor? If no cursor is presented, perform the speed summary.
So, yeah, and again, if it's Braille, it will tell me the Braille key that I pressed, what that's and how that's named, and if
now
it has...
Now, is that in 5.5 or...
No.
No.
This will be in 6.0.